Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Pastor Kirsten. And thank you, Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen, for giving us the opportunity to share about the Dream Center. And Pastor Daniel wanted us to take this opportunity for tonight's service to tell you guys about the Dream Center. We've had a slide up on the screen for several months now that you've probably seen sharing about the Dream Center, but many of you might not know exactly what that is. So tonight we're going to have some testimonies. I'm going to start with some of the staff to come up here and share the vision that we have for the Dream Center, what exactly it is, and then we're going to have some testimonies of guys who've completed the program and from guys who are currently in the program. So first up, we're going to have, I'm going to ask Rob Heislip to come up. Rob is the guy, Rob and Cherise Heislip started the Dream Center, I think close to 20 years ago. I'll let him share the specifics, but it's because of his heart, his vision, and his sacrifice that we have the foundation that King's partnered with about a year ago to build upon. And without him, there wouldn't be a Dream Center. And I'm finding out just how much of a sacrifice it is. It takes a lot to run a residential rehab program. And so, Rob, you want to come up and share with these guys how it came about and how God did that in your life?
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So a lot of you know who we are. Some of you don't, or you maybe don't. You know who we are, but you don't know our backstory. So my wonderful wife, Cherise, is here, and Pastor Eric said he, but it is them, I promise you. And Cherise and I met at church camp. We were teenagers. We got married in 1978. We were married at Phoenix First Assembly. And a year after we got married, Pastor Tommy Barnett came to be our pastor. And everything in my life changed. I was sitting here, and it's crazy what you said and how the Holy Spirit was moving in that moment. I got wrecked sitting there because I thought back about what that was like in those days. I was 20 years old, 21. And when he came, the church there in Phoenix was 200 people. And in a very short time, it was 10,000 people. And what he imparted to me, to us, was the value of souls. When we pray that prayer, Jesus, break my heart for what breaks yours, I promise you, it's the lost that breaks his heart. When Jesus stood there looking at Jerusalem and he wept, he was crying because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. They were lost. That's what breaks his heart. And Pastor Barnett instilled in us the value of souls. And I remember when he first came, one of the first things he did was he decided to feed the 5,000. And it was at Thanksgiving time, and he asked us to, everybody bring your Thanksgiving dinner to the church, and we're going to call in those that don't have Thanksgiving dinner somewhere, and we're going to feed them. And we picked up thousands and thousands of people from the parks. We picked up kids out of the projects. We went and picked up the people that no other church wanted. The value of souls. Is the soul of a millionaire worth more than the soul of a leper? No. And Jesus proved that over and over in the scriptures. You look at it, and it was all about the broken, the demonized, the lost. He didn't go after those long-robed guys. Even the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler didn't follow Jesus. He had money. He had things. The people that followed Jesus were the broken, the destitute, the lost, the demonized. Those were the ones that he wanted. Those are the ones that changed the world. None of this stuff I'm saying is what I plan to say. And it's okay. It's good. Charisse and I, like I said, married in 1978. We went to Phoenix First Assembly. We were a part of so many ministries there. We were part of the bus ministry. We were the media team, the productions, the kids ministry, worked on buses, did all kinds of things. And it was exciting, and the church was growing. It was wonderful. We were there when the church opened the Los Angeles Dream Center. The church in Phoenix is the one that opened the Los Angeles Dream Center. And in 1995, I got a job on the slope, and we moved to Alaska. And in, we were part of a church here, served for years. 2006, we went to pastor school in Phoenix. And it was at pastor school that the Lord put on our hearts to sell our home, take those proceeds, and open a dream center. We had no idea how to do that. We were church kids. We had never been involved with drugs or alcohol. We had never lived that life or that been a part of us. And we felt so desperately unqualified to do that. But we went to the LA Dream Center to train, and we were encouraged by the word from Mike Connor there that the people coming to the Dream Center were not coming because of our expertise on drugs and alcohol. They knew all about that. They wanted to know. They wanted to know how to live a life free from addiction and how to live in the freedom of Jesus. And he said, you have what they want. Go back and give it to them. And we did that to the best of our abilities, and God filled in the rest. And we've been blessed in all of that. There were crazy seasons in our life. And one of those crazy seasons was COVID, when we were told we needed to put the Dream Center on pause and we need to, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, and there's so many variables and so many liabilities and such. And I'm grateful for Kings because they were an example to us. They didn't shut down. They didn't go away. I remember sitting in the parking lot at Lucille with our pastor on a scissor lift in the freezing cold in a parking lot preaching the gospel. Our pastor is amazing. He's a rock star. I'm telling you, he's awesome. And that example spilled over to us, and we did things differently because we were told to. We had church in our home, which we were told not to by our government and such. They were said, you know, keep 6 feet apart and don't get together and don't do this and don't do that. But we were having 40 people in our house every week, and it was a Holy Ghost party. It was awesome. Well, when we moved here, we fell in love with Kings right off the bat. From the first time we came to the Holy Ghost service on a Tuesday night, and we wanted to be here, but we had other commitments and weren't able to do that right away. But I am super grateful that God comes through on time with the right things, the things that we need. And we are partnered with people that have the mindset of find a need and fill it, find a hurt and heal it, just like Pastor Barnett. That has happened over and over and over in our lives. And an example of that is recently, Kings partnered with us, adopted us, however you want to look at it, and became King's Dream Center. And it is an amazing thing. It's wonderful. And we are so super grateful for that. And that's finding a need and filling it, finding a hurt and heal it. And we've seen so many miracles, financial, relational, spiritual victories through the Dream Center that I can't even start to explain all of those things and recount them. But I just want to encourage you that God is good. If you have somebody that is struggling with life-controlling issues, drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be, there's a place in this house to see people set free. And I would encourage you to point them to the Dream Center. I want to give you one story and then I'll be done. I remember going down the road one time. We were driving the bus. We were going home from church. And there was a guy hitchhiking on the side of the road. And I pulled over. I opened up the door and I said, "Where are you going?" And he said, "Hell, most likely." And I said, "Well, that's not where we're going. But hop in and we'll go. You can go with us." And he came to the Dream Center. He went through the Dream Center. His life was completely changed. And this is a guy sitting on the side of the road acknowledging that he's going to hell, most likely. And in that moment, it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. And I want to encourage you, if you just see somebody, ask. Give them a shot, and God will fill in the gaps and make up the difference for you. Thank you, guys, for loving on us. We love you back.
Love you, buddy.
Thank you so much, Rob. Next, I'm going to have Raphael. He's our site director. He's the one that's got boots on the ground in Dream Center and is holding it all together. So, Raphael, if you want to come up and share.
Thank you. I don't know how I'm going to go after that. I can hardly see my screen now. So I just want to share a little bit about me. There's two turning points in my life that I can clearly recall. The first is when I disregarded the voice of God. He told me and my wife, who's sitting over here, to quit a job I had. And it was clear as day, and she came to me one day and said, "The Lord told me that you're supposed to quit your job or something bad's going to happen." So I went in to quit. I didn't quit and kept that job. And very shortly after that, I began to walk a path with the devil. Lost my family. My wife and I got separated and divorced. I turned to drugs and alcohol, spent about 7 years in confusion. A life separate from God. There came a day I was living in an apartment with no running water and no electricity. Some of you might know what that's like. It was Phoenix, so no electricity means it's really hot. I heard a small voice tell me, "If you don't go, you won't make it." And it was like I looked over to, like I maybe thought someone was behind me. "If you don't go, you won't make it." I knew about the Dream Center in Phoenix. I went to the same church that Rob and Charisse went to. My wife actually grew up in that church, Phoenix First, known as Dream City Church now. So I knew about the Dream Center, and I knew I had to go. So I got on my bike. I went, rode my bike to the bus stop, got on the bus, rode my bike some more to the Dream Center, and enrolled in the Dream Center. I spent a year there and graduated the Men's Discipleship Program. While I was there, I learned how to live a life free from bondage and confusion. I learned how to be a man of integrity and honor, how to make decisions based on peace and the Holy Spirit, not emotions or feelings. I learned how to develop a relationship with Jesus and allow him to guide me and mold me. While at the Dream Center, I learned to be uncomfortable for my own good, how to talk about hard things, how to be held accountable. I learned how to live for Christ. I learned how to pray, study the Bible, how to live a life worthy of the gospel. I also learned how to be a husband and a father. After graduating, my wife and I got remarried. And actually, today is our 7-year anniversary. Thank you. So it's kind of crazy that today is the day that I get to share this testimony. After the Lord restored our marriage 7 years ago today. 3.5 years have been spent here in Alaska of our 7 years of our do-over. God called us here to be partners with the Dream Center. Robin Sharice called us and asked us if we would come up and help. And it wasn't a very hard decision for us to make. We had talked about coming up here, and it was just like a kind of a sign from God. We were living in a fifth wheel because we were wanting to buy a house, and we couldn't find a house to buy. The market went crazy, and we didn't know what we were going to do. And the Lord called us up here. So we partnered with the Dream Center. There have been many times that we question why we're here, what's the point of it all, but God has placed us exactly where we're supposed to be, to do exactly what we're supposed to be doing. I'm now in a position to help others gain freedom that I experience. Being the site coordinator at King's Dream Center is definitely not where I thought my journey would take me. I was supposed to be a maintenance guy in Willow. That's a different story. Now I'm in a place where I can impact fathers, husbands, sons, uncles, men of God. Dream Center has been making an impact on the community for many years. I'm honored that God has placed me in the position I'm in. I hope I'm doing a good job. Many of the men that come to the Dream Center have never heard of or accepted the gospel. We are unashamedly proclaiming the truth and the truth about freedom. We're making disciples, developing leaders, winning souls, and training laborers. And I'm honored to be a part of it. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Raphael. You are doing a good job. Before we move on, we have some testimonies lined up of some guys that have been through the program and some guys that are in. I just want to honor some more staff. Like I said, the Dream Center is a big undertaking, and it takes a lot of people to do it. I'd like to honor Kevin Richard, who's a volunteer staff. He puts in a lot of time and effort. Bob Nelson for his help. And most definitely Pastor McKenzie, Scott Choir, and Nathan Jabe, who come out and teach the guys. Thank you, guys. Your help and input is so appreciated and necessary. Next, I'm going to have Jacob Banners come up and share. He's a graduate of the Dream Center and is now on staff.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So before the Dream Center, I was in really bad shape. I can go on and on about how it all was, but it's pretty common what you hear about addiction. I mean, there was brokenness, divorce, multiple treatments. I mean, just utter destruction in my life. It was horrible. And I remember sitting there wanting something different, but feeling completely hopeless on how to get out of that, or not seeing a road, just completely trapped. And you're sitting there, and I've been through some other treatments that led me to Christ, and I had gone back, and I had backslid. And just being in those moments where I just like knew God, and I knew that feeling of freedom, and I knew that church family feeling, and I was so stuck, I didn't know how to reach out to get through that and beyond it. And so through those treatments, I met a friend who's a pastor of another church here in the Valley, and has been around quite a bit. And he called me up out of the blue one day, and he said that his wife had had a dream about me, and that he was going to come pick me up and do what it took to get me in the Dream Center. And so in that moment, I just, I look back and I just imagine a tree, barren, with no leaves, just shallow roots in a dry, desolate, waterless land. And someone comes along and uproots that tree and replants me right in the river of living water. I was that tree. I had no hope, no leaves, not able to uproot myself. And since then, my roots have grown down deep. My leaves have come back, and I'm bearing fruit, and I'm starting to bud out a little. I'm spreading my seeds. And so now, who in their right mind would ever uproot themselves from that river of living water and go plant themselves back in that desolate land? I'm never going back. There's no way. I have too much to live for now. And so I have a totally different life now. What I dreamed of long ago, how when I was sitting there trying to get out of where I was at, not knowing how, and I knew what I wanted, I live that now. I'm there. Man, living the dream like we talked about this morning. God has restored relationships with my children. I have an electrical business that's flourishing, and I'm currently living at the Dream Center as volunteer staff, and I go through helping others go through what I went through and grow in the knowledge of God. I found places to serve here at King's, which gave me commitments to be here and to help me learn that others are more important than myself. I come to every service unless I'm out of town working. Last year was my first year of King's School of Ministry, which has helped me to grow my roots down deep. And I am also right on track with reading the church's Bible plan, reading the whole way through for the second year in a row. It's changing my life, just being in the Word, the foundation of everything, and just having commitments, serving at transformations, just serving at the Dream Center, just kind of going all in with everything. I have a confidence that's different now. I can pray the fire of heaven over anybody. You come up to me, ask you need prayer, and I can just let it loose. And it's such a blessing to be able to do that. And I know God is moving. Prayer is what moves the hand of God. And I know, I have faith to know that He's answering my prayers. There's nothing that can stop God's plan, nothing. And so I am so grateful for what I call my forever family, for the people in this church who support me, hold me accountable, whom I've grown to love. Without the Dream Center and King's, I wouldn't be standing here today. So thank you all.
Great job. Thank you.
So the next couple guys that we're going to have come up and share, guys that are currently in the program who've agreed to come and share a testimony and been brave. So Doug Fairchild, please come up and share.
Yeah, you had to call me first, huh? All right. Jesus is the one who saved my life. He saved me when I was lost. I was very lost for a long time. Drugs and alcohol stole my body and my mind. I was ready to die, and I tried several times. But then through the grace of God and Jesus Christ, I lived. True North got me started to sobriety. But the King's Dream Center has been one that's been leading me in the right direction. The staff and the volunteers that work there and come there have helped me with the kindness, the love, and the respect that I needed. The pastors, ministers, and volunteers that come and do the classes are the best. King's Chapel and Dream Center has saved my life, and I have committed myself to the church by becoming a member here. And when I finish my discipleship with the Dream Center, I'll join the leadership class, life group, and be what God calls me to do. God bless you all.
Good job. I kind of wish we could have guys come up and share like when they first come in, and then do like I say, that is a different man than when walk through the door. So proud of you. Next, we have Brandon Vinoy, who's going to come up and share.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to try to do this without getting too emotional. All right. My life was full of addiction, self-harm, and demonic attachments. For 22 years, I used drugs, alcohol, money, medication, and self-harm to numb feeling anything real and bury my emotions. I became the black sheep of the family and pushed away everyone who loved and cared for me. 2019, I went to rehab for the first time, being diagnosed with multiple different things, highly medicated, feeling more broken than I did before I went in. The cycle continued for the next 5 years, in and out of psych wards, detox, and treatment centers. 2023, I was sitting in a parking lot looking up the big church on the hill. I prayed and cried out to God for the first time. I asked God for help because I couldn't keep on living like this. The next morning, I woke up to a wrong number text. That text was from Marisa Stewart from King's, the big church on the hill I was just praying to. I had questions about God, and she invited me to a prophetic class, which later led me to Transformations, meeting Minister Eric and Pastor Vicky. Shortly after that, I reached out to Minister Eric needing prayer. That night, I accepted God into my life and took the steps to go into King's Dream Center and become the best disciple I could possibly be. Going into the Dream Center, I was on 12 different mental health medications. God completely delivered me from my addiction and everything that came with it. Thank you. I've been off all medications for over 6 months and I feel happy for the first time in my life. I'm full of joy and hope for the future, fully trusting in God's plan for my life. God's used multiple people to make an impact on my life, guiding me into my calling. And I wouldn't be standing up here today without the help and without their influence. I want to say thank you to Minister Eric, Pastor Vicky, Pastor Daniel, Marisa Stewart, Pastor Tim, Pastor Dwayne, Minister Hank, Robin Charisse, Nathan Jabe, Jacob, and Raphael. Thank you.
Yeah, I get emotional doing this because I've seen the change and I know what it feels like to be lost, and I know what it feels like to be that far gone, and to be able to watch it. I just want to say thank you to the High Slips for the chance to be a part of this, and I am so truly grateful. In 2004, I was alone in my apartment. I had been up for days, and I was strung out on amphetamines. This was nothing new. This is a situation I had been in hundreds of times before that night, but this night would turn out to be something different than anything I had experienced. That night, I felt hollow is about the best way I could put it. You know when you see somebody who's on drugs or on an alcoholic or somebody that looks so far gone and you think to yourself, how could they possibly do that to themselves? I want you to know they don't see themselves the way you do. What I mean by that is anytime I saw myself, there was enough like I would look in the mirror and I would see Eric in there, you know, and people who are in that situation, they see themselves like they were when maybe they were a kid, because to them, they're still them. It's not what you see. And this is why I say that, because that night something was different. I felt hollow. I don't know how to explain it other than whatever what was left of Eric that was left in there was slipping away and felt like he was gone. And so I walked into my bathroom that night and I looked in the mirror and what I saw in the reflection horrified me. It was because when I looked in that reflection, there was nothing. I didn't see Eric anymore. All I saw was the pale skin, the sunken eyes, the sores, probably the things that other people saw when they looked at me. For the first time, I saw the shell of a man I had become, and I hated that guy. I just had intense anger for him. And I'm looking in the mirror and I'm hating him because I know what he destroyed. He destroyed who I was. And I didn't know what was happening at the time. God was giving me a vision. I didn't know that what was happening at the time, but I was looking in the mirror and I was seeing myself as I was. And then all of a sudden I saw myself like when I was six, like a six-year-old Eric in the mirror. And then it was me again, the man that I hated. And I hated him because when I saw the child, it reminded me of the hopes and dreams that I once had and what I had become and what I had done to my life. And three times that happened. Three times I saw myself like when I was six, and then I would come back to the man I was, the man that I hated. And like I said, I didn't know what was happening at the time. I just thought I was seeing things. And so I walked out of my bathroom and I walked by an end table that I had sitting there. And on that end table was a little book called The Prayer of Jabez, by Bruce Wilkerson. It was a book that my sister had dropped off a couple weeks earlier and had been sitting there. And I didn't know what God was up to at the time, but I think what he was showing me in that mirror was how he saw me. He gave me a glimpse of how he saw me. It was enough to soften my heart to want to do something for the man that I saw that I hated, because he wasn't worth changing for. He wasn't worth sacrificing anything for. But that Eric that I used to be, that lit something inside of me to want to do something. So I picked up the book. I don't know why it had been sitting there, but I picked up the book and I started reading it. And it was an account of Jabez. And if you don't know who Jabez is, he's found in 1 Chronicles 4. There's not a whole lot written about him. He's in the middle of a book that you kind of tend to skip over when you're reading the Bible. It's one of those, you know, this guy begat, a bunch of names that you can't pronounce, right in the middle of 1 Chronicles. But then it gets to 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9, and it says this. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I'll be free from pain. And God granted his request. I don't know if it was the way it was written by the author or what, but I felt like Jabez. Because he was somebody that caused pain, I could identify with Jabez because I felt like that's who I was. I was just somebody that caused pain. And so I started reading this, and when I got to that sentence, the last sentence in there, it says, and God granted his request. That sentence changed my life. As a matter of fact, it changed my eternity. Because I was reading this account of Jabez, I was identifying with him as somebody that caused pain. And all he did was cry out to God, and he asked him for something. And God simply granted his request. He didn't ask anything of him. He didn't ask him to change. He didn't tell him he wasn't worthy of being answered. He just granted his request. And that sentence sparked a little bit of faith in me that night that changed my life, but it's more than that. It changed my eternity. When I read and God granted his request, hope began to build on the inside of me. If you did it for him, you would do it for me. If it was possible for you to just grant him his request, maybe you would grant mine. As a matter of fact, I think you might. And faith started to build in a broken shell of an addict who was full of everything, every kind of evil, who had done nothing to earn the favor of God. I just cried out to him like Jabez did, and he put inside of me that night a spark of hope and faith. And I remember laying on my floor laughing with joy, like the first time I'd felt joy in years. And I didn't know a lot, but I knew that I needed to pray some sort of repentance prayer. The prayer we lead at the end of the service, the prayer that Pastor Kirsten led you guys in earlier, the sinner's prayer. I knew I had to do something like that. I don't remember exactly what I said, but evidently it was good enough for Jesus because here I stand today. So I muttered out some sort of sinner's prayer there in my apartment by myself, a strung out meth addict, and my life has never been the same. The last thing I remember about that encounter, I think it was the next morning, I was sitting on my couch. I'm not really sure what was happening. I had no idea how God was going to change my life. I just knew he was going to. And I remember thinking, Lord, if you can do one good thing with this life, I could check up on out of this place and be okay with it. Because up to that point, I thought my life was worth nothing. And the thought of him using me to do one good thing, I didn't know what that meant. I thought maybe I could give somebody a piece of advice that would encourage him. Maybe I could give him some money sometime. I didn't know. But I thought if you could do one good thing, Lord, then it's been worth it. And that led me to a journey of walking out a lot of uncomfortable things, like Raphael said. One of the things we say at Transformations and at the Dream Center is get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because God is going to take you to a lot of new places. He's going to show you a lot of new things. And he's going to have you experience a lot of new things, and it's going to be uncomfortable every step of the way, but it's going to be a good uncomfortable. One of my life verses that God showed me early on in my walk was Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun shining ever brighter to the full light of day. And that's something I speak over myself many times, hundreds of times over these last 19 years. And it was because sometimes we need that reminder. And it's this idea that once we give our heart to Christ, we're made righteous by our faith in Christ, right? Just as Abraham was made righteous by our faith. That's how we're made righteous. And as soon as we do that, our life becomes like the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. It continues to get better and better and better. It doesn't always get easier and easier, but every year since then has gotten better and better. And shortly after that night, I went into a rehab, and I took my Bible with me, and I didn't know much, but I prayed really two prayers. I prayed for adventure and a family. adventure because I was so sick of being a drug addict that I didn't, but I had no idea how to live free from it. I just wanted to experience something new. I prayed for a family because I really, I thought that was beyond my grasp. Every relationship I had was so chaotic and unhealthy that I never thought a healthy marriage or a family could be for me. And partly I thought I was too old. That was 20 years ago. I was 33. God is like, did you even open the book? And like 9 chapters in, the guy's 100. I think I can work with 33, Eric. And so that's funny to me now. Yeah, I was like, I know I'm probably too old, God, but I'd really love a family. And so I'm standing here today with my beautiful pastor wife and our 9 of our 11 children who take up an entire row. And I'm going to tell you, God is a God who answers prayer. Not only did he answer the family prayer, but he answered the adventure prayer. I've gotten since that time I was sitting on my couch asking him to do one good thing with my life. I've gotten to travel the world. I've gotten to share my testimony at a rehab center in Santiago, Chile with an interpreter speaking Spanish and watching the Holy Spirit move in power upon the guys that were there. I've gotten to hear you prayed for me and I was healed. He'll work miracles through your hands. I know what's in store for you guys. That's why I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be part of the Dream Center because this is not a rehab. It's not a place where we're going to teach you how to deal with your disease of addiction for your life, because we know God's got something way better for you than that. He's got adventure. He's got miracles. He's got families. He's got your heart's desire. Because that's what he does. He doesn't just heal you. He puts you in a place where you can live out the plan and purpose he has for you, because he has a plan and purpose for every one of you. I don't care where you've started. I don't care how lost and broken you are. You can't get any more lost and broken as I was. I was full of every kind of evil and perversion. I'm just telling you, I was bound in every area of my life. My house was a dark, desolate place, and there was no life found in it. Today, my house is bustling with noise of children and love and singing and God, and I love it. And I've never been, oh man, I'm telling you, I'm so excited for you guys. You guys, I've watched God work in your life over these last months, and it's just the beginning. As much as I don't even recognize you compared to how you walked in, it's just the start. He's taking you on an adventure that's going to blow your mind. I'm telling you, your path is like the morning sun. It's going to shine brighter till the full light of day. And I'm telling you, I tend to look at things in 5-year chunks. I don't know why. It seems like really every 5 to 7 years, God will just take my life and he shakes the whole box up and everything changes. And that's just the way it's been. And it's not that things don't happen in those 5 years. Sometimes it's hard to see because it's happened gradually. We're growing. He's molding and shaping us into the man or woman that he can use and put into the situation that he wants to take us to. But I can see him. That those times when you think nothing is changing and it's hard and it seems like you're walking in mud, he's taking you somewhere. And I'm going to tell you, I can say this, I can look back at my life even 5 years ago in 2021. My life looks completely different now than it did then. It's way better. We have twice as many children. Figure that one out. We only had 5. Now we have 11. I was not part of a discipleship program. I'm just telling you, it's totally different. And if you go back 5 years from before that, I was a single dad with 4 babies. That was a hard time. That was a tough time. But God used that season in my life to prepare me for what he had for me. I needed that time, and he used it so that when I did find the wife and the family that I wanted, I would be the man I needed to be able to walk through it. He's a God of seasons, and you're in a season. I just want to say, man, you guys, just keep going. Even when it seems tough, there's going to be things pulling at you. They're going to try to get you to quit and give up. Don't give up. It's the only way you can fail is if you quit. Because if you keep walking with him, you're going to succeed. I promise you, you will look back and you will not believe where he's taken you. You will not believe the life he's given you. So I just want to give glory to God. I want to thank Kings. Really, one of the turning points in my life was 2014 when I came into this church. And it's been since then. Not only did I meet my wife here and in 2015 get married, But it was also been the church where I've been given platforms of ministry to see many of these things in my life happen. I'm so blessed to be a part of this church, and I'm blessed in this season to be a part of King's Dream Center. I'm going to say it was early 2024, late winter, early spring. Pastor Daniel called and said, it looks like we're going to have the opportunity to partner with Dream Center. And he said, if you and your wife want to do this, we'll do it. He said, what do you think? And I just want to say, yes, yes. Because I remember having vision for this 20 years ago. It was 20 years ago. Not long after I got out of that rehab, I was standing in front of a CNC machine. I was a CNC machinist. And I was, again, I didn't understand vision. I was not mature in the Lord. But I was daydreaming about a facility. I would think, how cool is it if we could have like a Christian rehab? I didn't know there was any such thing as Christian rehabs, right? I just went to a secular one. But I had that encounter with Jesus, so I knew... God was real. And so how cool would it be to have this, a place where people could go and they could be ministered to in the Bible, they could be taught things out of the Bible, and maybe you could have a shop, because I'm a machinist, where they could teach guys a skill. Because I saw the advantage I had as being in recovery and having a skill as a machinist compared to a lot of the guys I was in, a lot of the people I was in treatment with that didn't have that and they were struggling. I thought, how cool would it be? And I would just, I would spend hours like daydreaming, I thought, about this facility that and it's exactly the vision Rob and Charisse had when they started the Dream Center. There's a shop out there that can be used to train people in to have skills to help them when they get out. So I'm so excited to be part of it. I want to thank Pastor Daniel again for having vision and Dr. Morocco and all the King staff for being ones to push. They push and they're not afraid to say yes when they know it's God. They'll step out and they'll make things happen. I'm so grateful to be along for the ride. So thank you guys for listening. I want to thank you guys for hearing our story and knowing who we are and coming tonight. So thank you.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.